we're over again, and we'll fix it in 6 years. And that's not good enough.
Well, can you stop the federal government from accessing the data? That is going to be a litigation.
They need a good place to go. We're open here. We got a good school. We spent lots of money over the years here.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. On this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, we'll look at a potential cross-state school merger in Vermont and Massachusetts. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo discusses the state's concerns about ICE, U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and the city of Springfield's drinking water has too much of a certain contaminant. But first, the mayor of Mount Vernon, New York, has pleaded guilty to misusing campaign funds and has agreed to resign on September 30th. State Attorney General Letitia James and Comptroller Tom DiNapoli announced on Monday that Mayor Richard Thomas pleaded guilty to attempted grand larceny and filing a false disclosure report. Both charges are misdemeanors. The Democrat got a one-year conditional discharge in which he cannot seek any appointed or elected public office. He was also fined $13,000. James says Thomas broke the law and violated public trust by using campaign funds to line his own pockets. The plea was announced just as his trial was scheduled to start. There are fresh questions about New York's new green light law, which allows undocumented immigrants to apply for driver's licenses starting later this year. Governor Cuomo signed the law over the objections of state and local Republican officials. One county clerk in western New York is already suing over the measure. This week, it emerged that ICE had accessed DMV databases in Vermont and Utah, using facial recognition technology as it pursued people in the country illegally. Where does that leave New York? WAMC's Alan Chartok asked Governor Cuomo that question on the roundtable.
The great question mark is, okay, you now have a undocumented person registered. Mm-hmm. They now have a picture in your Department of Motor Vehicles database. Mm-hmm. We know the federal government, which routinely shares data with states, especially in the area of criminal justice, that the federal government has been accessing state databases to use for immigration purposes. There's a lawsuit with the state of California, which has been allowing undocumented people to register, where the federal government has now been using access to their database to actually find the undocumented people that the state put on the database and actually deport them, which is a total flip of what the intent was. The intent by California, the intent when we signed the law was to allow undocumented people to travel in the state in a safe way. They federal government has now been accessing the data to actually aid in deportation. Well, can you stop the federal government mm-hmm. from accessing the data? That is going to be a litigation. If ICE comes knocking, that's going to be one issue. But if President Trump, who's going to make this a big issue, he already has made it a big issue, will make it more of an issue, I believe, as the campaign goes on. Immigration has always been the horn he has been blowing. What happens when the FBI says we're going to access the database and they're doing it on behalf of ICE? Are you going to stop the FBI? Can you stop the FBI? You have all sorts of joint agreements, law enforcement sharing agreements. We use the federal databases for law enforcement. I believe that's going to be a lawsuit.
Can you win that?
The Solicitor General and the Attorney General say that we would win. I hope they're right, because if people register and it turns out that the federal government does have access, because they do fund part of these databases, et cetera, then they would have access to people who we had register.
So will we have...
We would have had good intent to a very bad effect.
The town of Stamford, Vermont, has voted to continue exploring the possibility of a school district merger with its neighbor across the state line, Clarksburg, Massachusetts. WAMC Berkshire Bureau Chief Josh Landes has more.
Residents of Stamford, population around 800, streamed into the A-frame gym at Stamford Elementary School to vote in the special town meeting. The Southern Vermont community is facing pressure from the state to merge with a surrounding school district following an order from the Board of Education. Act 46 seeks to create larger, more sustainable districts in the Green Mountain State to improve education from pre-K to 12th grade. Cynthia Lamore chairs the Stamford School Board. She's been on it since 1995 and says the decision to look south to Massachusetts came out of an early meeting to address merger possibilities.
We were asking the town of Stamford to consolidate with Reedsboro and Halifax into a merger that was called the Southern Valley, and people were afraid that eventually kids would have to be bused north and up over very treacherous highway.
At that meeting, representatives from Clarksburg reached out to offer themselves to Stamford as merger partners. Town moderator Bob Levine.
A union with Clarksburg is such a natural thing because the children already work on teams together, they play together.
Lamore says using state funding from Vermont and Massachusetts, public consulting group from Boston was brought in to examine the possibilities for a merger. At the town meeting, voters had to decide between three options presented by PCG.
Option one was no change. If both schools were to just continue on as they are, but no change can't mean no action. Stamford still has to show some kind of participation action toward the Act 46 legislation.
Option two would have seen the two schools merge but retain their current grade configurations. Option three would consolidate Stamford as the pre-K through second grade early education center for the two communities, and Clarksburg as the third through eighth grade school. Lamore and other town leaders threw their support behind option three, saying Clarksburg, a town almost twice the size of Stamford, could offer its students more.
On the average, Stamford classrooms are about 10 students. So you can understand that if you had a classroom that was like 22, the kids would be able to have more socialization and participate in the sporting programs and just an overall better social experience for them, as well as the educational benefits where Clarksburg already has foreign language in their curriculum, so we don't have that here in Stamford.
Lamore says Stamford Elementary School has around 10 staff members, while Clarksburg has around 15. Stamford's school system currently runs from pre-K to 8th grade and has around 65 students enrolled for the fall. Many Stamford students continue their education in North Adams at McCann and Drury High Schools.
I don't have nothing against option three, but they're throwing out option one to look into it more.
Michael Tatro says he's lived in Stamford for 50 years.
Reedsboro is a certain candidate to come here, 10 miles away. They need a good place to go. We're open here. We got a good school. We spent lots of money over the years here. Give our kids good options. They're all doing good. Why do we have to leave here?
I think the pushback is the people would like to stay independent if they could to maintain the control that the direct control that they have. But the state is taking that away.
Again, Bob Levine. He addressed concerns raised by critics about Stamford's identity as an isolated school district, a designation that would make the town eligible for specific state grants, and one that school board members framed as unreliable.
We have no guarantee that come September we will no longer be treated isolated. And if we don't go on, have an active ongoing plan with the state, they will put us wherever they want us.
With 58 yes votes, 29 no votes, and one blank ballot, Stamford approved option three and the continued examination of a merger with Clarksburg. It would be Vermont's second interstate school district after the Dresden School District, which is shared with New Hampshire and was the first of its kind in the nation. Now, Clarksburg must schedule its own special meeting to confirm more study of the plan on its side of the state line. Reporting from the WAMC News Berkshire Bureau at the Beacon Cinema, I'm Josh Landes.
Sample tests continue to show a higher than acceptable level of a contaminant in the drinking water of about a third of the population in western Massachusetts. WAMC's Pioneer Valley Bureau Chief Paul Tuthill reports.
The Springfield Water and Sewer Commission recently notified its 250,000 customers that tests on drinking water taken at various locations in the agency's service area last month found haloacetic acids at levels that exceed state regulatory limits. The contamination is not an immediate health hazard, the commission said in a prepared statement that urged its customers to continue to consume the water as normal. It echoes assurances given earlier this year by the commission's executive director, Josh Schimmel, after test results of water samples taken in December 2018 and again in March 2019 also triggered public warnings about contamination by haloacetic acids.
Springfield water is safe and still a fantastic product that we deliver right to your door.
The Massachusetts Department of Environmental Protection requires public water systems to test for haloacetic acids because long-term exposure could cause cancer. The contamination is a byproduct of chlorine reacting with leaves, wood, and plant residue in the water supply. The commission said the amount of dissolved organic matter remains higher than normal because rainfall in the watershed of the Cobble Mountain Reservoir was about 40% more than usual last year. Since the first public warning about high levels of haloacetic acids last year, Water and Sewer Commission officials have tried to be upfront about the problem. An FAQ is posted on the agency's website. A public meeting was held on April 22nd at Springfield City Hall, and officials have twice appeared before the Springfield City Council's Health and Human Services Committee.
And we want our customers to really have trust and faith in the water that they're drinking, and that's really important to us and continues to be important to us.
Schimmel said there is a permanent fix to the problem, but it's very expensive and years away. It involves an upgrade to the commission's antiquated water treatment plant so that tiny organic matter is completely filtered out before the water is disinfected with chlorine. The project is estimated to cost $70 million and is scheduled to be completed in 2025.
We're continuing to step through a fairly methodical process of taking the right technical approach to solving these issues.
Springfield City Councilor Tim Allen called the commission's response to the recurring water contamination problem disconcerting.
We're over again, and we'll fix it in 6 years. And that's not good enough. It's just not good enough in terms of the health, protecting the health of the citizens of Springfield.
The commission approved a 9.9% combined water and sewer rate hike for residential customers. The new charges, which took effect on July 1st, will cost a typical household an additional $105 a year, according to an announcement from the commission. Reporting from WAMC's Pioneer Valley News Bureau on the campus of Western New England University, I'm Paul Tuthill.
And that'll do it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Remember to stay subscribed for the latest from the Northeast. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.